Part 2. Cleon the First. Cleon the First. Though often receiving panegyrics for being the last emperor under whom the first galactic empire was reasonably united and reasonably prosperous, the quarter-century reign of Cleon the First was one of continuous decline. This cannot be viewed as his direct responsibility, for the decline of the empire was based on political and economic factors too strong for anyone to deal with at the time. He was fortunate in his selection of first ministers. Ito Demazel and then Hari Seldon, in whose development of psychohistory the emperor never lost faith. Cleon and Seldon, as the objects of the final Geronimite conspiracy, with its bizarre climates, etc., etc., extract from the Encyclopaedia Galactica. Chapter 1 of Part 2. Mandel Gruber was a happy man. He seemed so to Hari Seldon, certainly. Seldon stopped his morning constitutional to watch him. Gruber, perhaps in his late 40s, a few years younger than Seldon, was a bit gnarled from his continuing work in the Imperial Palace grounds, but he had a cheerful, smoothly shaven face topped by a pink skull, not much of which was hidden by his thin, sandy hair. He whistled softly to himself as he inspected the leaves of the bushes for any signs of insect infestation. He was not the chief gardener, of course. The chief gardener of the Imperial Palace grounds was a high functionary who had a palatial office in one of the buildings of the enormous imperial complex, with an army of men and women under him. The chances are he did not inspect the palace grounds more often than once or twice a year. Gruber was but one of that army. His title, Seldon knew, was Gardener First Class, and it had been well earned, with 30 years of faithful service. Seldon called to him as he paused on the perfectly level, crushed gravel walk. "Another marvellous day, Gruber." Gruber looked up and his eyes twinkled. "Yeah, indeed, First Minister, and it's sorry I am for those who be cooped up indoors." "You mean as I am about to be? There's not much about you, First Minister, for people to sorrow over, but if you're disappearing into those buildings on a day like this, it's a bit of sorrow that we fortunate few can feel for you." "I thank you for your sympathy, Gruber, but you know we have 40 billion Trantorians under the dome. Are you sorry for all of them?" "Indeed I am. I'm grateful I am not of Trantorian extraction myself, so that I could qualify as a gardener. There be few of us on this world that work in the open, but here I be, one of the fortunate few." "The weather isn't always ideal." "That's true. And I've been out here in the sluicing rains and the whistling winds. Still, as long as you dress fittingly. Look," and Gruber spread his arms open, wide as his smile, as if to embrace the vast expanse of the palace grounds. "I have my friends, the trees and the lawns and all the animal life forms to keep me company, and growth to encourage in geometric form, even in the winter. Have you ever seen the geometry of the grounds, First Minister?" "I am looking at it right now, am I not?" "I mean the plan, spread out so you can really appreciate it all. And marvellous it is, too. It were planned by Tapper Savin, over 100 years ago. And it's been little changed since. Tapper were a great horticulturalist, the greatest, and he came from my planet." "That was Anacreon, wasn't it?" "Indeed. A far-off world, near the edge of the galaxy, where there's still wilderness and life, and it can be sweet. I came here when I was still an earwet lad, when the present chief gardener took power under the old emperor. Of course, now they're talking of redesigning the grounds." Gruber sighed deeply and shook his head. "Oh, that would be a mistake. They're just right as they are now, properly proportioned, well balanced, pleasing to the eye and spirit. But it is true that in history the grounds have occasionally been redesigned. Emperors grow tired of the old, and are always seeking the new, as if new is somehow always better. Our present emperor, may he long live, has been planning the redesign with the chief gardener. At least, that is the word that runs from gardener to gardener." This last he added quickly, as if abashed at spreading palace gossip. "It might not happen soon." "I hope not, First Minister. Please, if you have the chance to take some time from the art-stopping work you must be after doing, study the design of the grounds. It's a rare beauty. And if I have my way, there should be not a leaf moved out of place, nor a flower nor a rabbit, anywhere in all these hundreds of square kilometres. Selden smiled. You're a dedicated man, Gruber. I would not be surprised if some day you were chief gardener. Oh, may fate protect me from that. The chief gardener breathes no fresh air, sees no natural sights, and forgets all he has learned of nature. He lives there, Gruber pointed scornfully, and I think he no longer knows a bush from a stream unless one of his underlings leads him out and places his hand on one or drips it into the other. For a moment it seemed as though Gruber would expectorate his scorn, but he could not find any place on which he could bear to spit. Selden laughed quietly. Gruber, it's good to talk to you. When I'm overcome with the duties of the day, it is pleasant to take a few moments to listen to your philosophy of life. Ah, First Minister, it's no philosopher I am. My schooling were very sketchy. You don't need schooling to be a philosopher, just an active mind and experience with life. Take care, Gruber. I just might have you promoted. If you but leave me as I am, First Minister, you will have my total gratitude. Selden was smiling as he moved on, but the smile faded as his mind turned once more to his current problems. 10 years as First Minister. And if Gruber knew how heartily sick Selden was of his position, his sympathy would rise to enormous heights. Could Gruber grasp the fact that Selden's progress in the techniques of psychohistory showed the promise of facing him with an unbearable dilemma?